Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
Hello and welcome to The Art of Seduction, warm, wonderful poetry compelling you to the edge of your seat, sultry, seductive, and scintillating, ink to make you shiver, to make you sigh. I am Pam Ray, a poet on all poetry, with a group of poets called Late Night Poets. You don't have to belong to the group or the website to call in, to share, to listen, and enjoy, but it is highly recommended. Tonight is our sensual poetry night. If you find that sensual poetry is not your cup of tea, please check out our other shows. We have up to 2 shows per night on a variety of styles of topics and poetry, something for everyone's taste. Now, the poems for tonight's show were inspired by 2 different classic poems, The Passionate Shepherd to His Love by Christopher Marlowe and The Nymph's Reply to the Shepherd by Sir Walter Raleigh. I ran a contest on all poetry and got some just absolutely beautiful entries that I am looking forward to delving into tonight. And with that being said, I'm going to go ahead and bring on 3 guests. First of all, Kel, welcome. Glad you could be here. How's it going?
It's going good. How are you, honey?
Oh, I'm doing great. Looking forward to hanging out with you and other cool poets and, you know, reading some heated up poetry. So, here we go.
I don't know how hot mine is, but we'll deal with it.
I understand that. But I read yours earlier. It was beautiful. And I'd like to welcome Tom to the show. Welcome, Tom. Glad you could be here. How's it going?
Oh, thank you. I'm looking forward to it.
Wonderful. Me too. And, of course, last but not least, I'd like to welcome Lawrence to the show. Hi, Lawrence. How's it going?
Going pretty good, all things considered. Good evening, Pam. Good evening, Tom. Good evening, Kel.
Hello, Laurent. Hello, Thomas.
Good to have you all here.
Yes.
All right. So I am certainly glad people were inspired for tonight. And like I said, definitely looking forward to the poetry. All right. Now, for our first reading, we're actually going to read the prompt poems, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to put up in Late Night Poets the link to the contest, because if you click on the contest link and then click read more, you'll see both poems right in a row. Tom is going to read The Passionate Shepherd to His Love by Christopher Marlowe, and I will read The Nymph's Reply to the Shepherd by Sir Walter Raleigh, and then, of course, after both are read, we will do some commenting. So with that being said, there's the link, and Tom, go ahead and take us away.
The Passionate Shepherd to His Love by Christopher Marlowe. Come, live with me and be my love, and we will all the pleasures prove that valleys, groves, hills, and fields, woods are steeping mountain yields. And we will sit upon the rocks, seeing the shepherds feed their flocks by shallow rivers to those to whose falls melodious birds sing madrigals. And I make thee bed of roses and 1,000 fragrant posies, a cap of flowers and a kirtle embroidered all with leaves of myrtle. A gown made of the finest wool, which from our pretty lambs we pull. Fair-lined slippers for the cold, with buckles of the purest gold. A belt of straw and ivy buds, with coral clasps and amber studs. And if these pleasures may thee move, come live with me and be my love. The shepherd swains shall dance and sing for thy delight each May morning. And if these delights thy mind may move, then live with me and then live with me and be my love.
If all the world and love were young, and truth in every shepherd's tongue, these pretty pleasures might me move to live with thee and be thy love. Time drives the flocks from field to fold, when rivers rage and rocks grow cold, and Philomel becometh dumb, the rest complains of cares to come. The flowers do fade and wanton fields, to wayward winter reckoning yields. A honey tongue, a heart of gall, is fancy spring, but sorrow's fall. Thy gowns, thy shoes, thy beds of roses, thy cap, thy kirtle, and thy posies, soon break, soon wither, soon forgotten, in folly ripe, in reason rotten. Thy belt of straw and ivy buds, the coral clasp and amber studs, all these in me no means can move to come to thee and be thy love. But could youth last and love still breed, at joys no date, nor age, no need, then these delights my mind might move to live with thee and be thy love. End poem. And thank you very much, Tom, for reading that first poem. I really appreciate it. I sent a message out to you. You responded, and it was absolutely wonderful. And I have to say, now I know these poems are absolutely beautiful classic poems. Both Christopher Marlowe and Sir Walter Raleigh were just brilliant lyricist poets, poets who really knew metered rhyme very well. And I thought, and I came across them, but they're not overtly sensual. I think people really have to think to find the sensuality in it. So I kind of felt like offering what I felt was a challenge for people to rise up to. As far as the rhyme goes, I really liked the near rhyme of roses and posies. And what I like about the two together is, in how I see it, is that it shows us how, as we mature, we think of love and sensuality in a different eyes, different, you know, a different mindset. So I find these just both beautiful and intriguing poems, and definitely worthy to be put up as prompts. And Lawrence, would you like to share any thoughts?
Yeah, both of these poems are careful studies in words chosen. As you mentioned, back then the images of passion and seduction were perhaps a little different than they are now, at least in the way they're voiced. What I loved about the poems was the initial poem and the response from the different point of view. The choice of words throughout, absolutely fascinating. As you said, both accomplished lyricists. The rhyming is always fascinating because you wait to see whether the word is chosen gratuitously or whether the poet has woven it into the fabric so that it pops up completely naturally, yet rhyming at the same time. Two terrific prompts, two terrific poets, two very good reads.
Absolutely. Thank you. Wonderful observations. And Kel, your thoughts. Are you on mute, Kel?
Our secret.
Yes, I was.
Okay.
I was talking to myself. I thought they were beautiful. And, oh, golly, I'm so tired. Romantic and truly sweet poetry. But I also thought that the responses from one to the other was really eloquently done. And it's just really, you know, especially coming from another man, you know, it's just, wow, he did, you know, that's really fantastic to be able to understand what a woman's response might be. So I thought they were very well done.
Absolutely. Great observation there, Cal. And Tom, you read your part wonderfully. Your thoughts?
Well, I really enjoy these because there's really sort of a call and response to this in a sense. I mean, in one, you have Marlo going, I will make thee a bed of roses and 1,000 fragrant posies, a cap of flowers and a kirtle, embroidered with all the leaves of myrtle. And to which Raleigh replies, flowers do fade and wanton fields to wayward winter reckoning yields, a honey tongue, a heart of gall, in fancy spring, but sorrows fall. And you just, as well going on in the next verse, but it's so wonderful because one's the youthful joy of a young man trying to impress and just shower you with all the fanciness so that you will be overwhelmed by the shower of wonders and fall in love with him. And the other is, as he says, the nymph's reply to the shepherd is so perfectly said because it's like, I don't have time for all of this. Quit with all the showiness. It's either you're either really here or you're not, and so prove it.
Absolutely.
I really like the put up or shut up kind of way that Walter Waldy Riley is able to say it so romantically.
Yeah, I have to agree. Well said there. And great comments, everybody. All right. Up next, I'm going to put My Lady Lover Liege by Eric Svensson. And we have a SoundCloud for that one. So I'm going to find that and push play.
My Lady Lover Liege, to fairer fields anon, My Lady Lover Liege, away from parlor games, paltry prestige. Snuff the candles, draw the curtains, forest fern awaits thy gentle caress for certain. Enclosed bower shall become our boudoir, far from thy gold-framed Renoir. Escape from corset imprisonment, such beguiling beauty needs no such detriment. We'll rest beside Bruges' gurgle gay, while thy face is touched by gentle sunray. Ripe meadow strawberries at thy trembling lips bidding, sweet succor dribbles, sweetness upon no tight ribbing. Green willow tresses shan't blush and weep, gaiety their trailing tresses fresh shall keep. Soft and fragrant moss for thy noble feet, I vow to be our love, each sunrise shall greet. Blue dragonflies hover above thy clear emerald eyes, smitten they'll dip and dive in ecstasy against azure skies. Ecstatic laughter causes a dainty doe to peer. Never has almond eyes beheld alabaster skin so clear. To fairer fields anon, my lady lover liege, away from pressing societal parlor prestige. Instruct the butler to ready horse and carriage anon. Away, away, decorum's dreary days be gone. End poem.
Great reading right there, Eric. Thank you for the SoundCloud. It is very much appreciated. And just a friendly reminder, everyone, if you can't call into the show but you can record your poem, that is the next best thing because then we get to hear your poetry in your voice. And Kel, let's start with your thoughts on Eric's poem.
Oh, goodness, this is glorious. His wording, oh, my God, it's so impressive. I love the whole thing, but enclosed bower shall become our boudoir, far from thy gold-framed Renoir. Escape from corset imprisonment, this beguiling beauty needs no such detriment. I love his wording. It's just so amazing. And his, I mean, the pictures he paints with his words are just, you know, you can almost pull it out of a painting. They're just so beautiful.
Absolutely, I agree. And glorious was a perfect word to describe that. And I like that stanza that you chose to highlight. So excellent comment. And Tom, your thoughts?
Well, if we have Marlowe taking her away to the fields and showering her with the wonders of roses and posies, and Raleigh saying all of this is nonsense, Eric has taken us to a place where he says all of the social norms, all of the manners and behaviors of those in high life and richness need to be cast aside, you know. Escape from corsets, imprisonment, to fairer fields anon, my love, my lady lover leave, away from parlor games, paltry prestige. I mean, he just does it, and his voice makes it sound even better because he comes closest to speaking to the fields and the wonder with blue dragonflies hover above thy clear emerald eyes. Smitten, they'll dip and dive in ecstasy against azure skies. Ecstatic laughter causes the dainty doe to peer. Never had almond eyes beheld alabaster skin so clear. Again, you know, this whole sense of we shall escape all this stalwart stiffness, all these manners and purpose to a world of much more romance and greatness. And he does it just beautifully.
Absolutely. I have to agree. I did like the way it was an invitation to let go of the oppression of the girdle and the life of a rich person and enjoy the wonders of nature. So very well said there. And Laurent, your thoughts?
I gather that the sweetness of wealth does not compare at some point with the sweetness of romance and love. It begins to fairer fields anon and ends to fairer fields anon. Time to get away, as you said, from the rigors of court and the shackles of wealth and the hangers-on attracted by wealth, whom you do not necessarily want to spend much time with. And in between the opening and closing stanzas, it becomes almost a testament to nature. Brooks gurgle gay, a gentle sun ray, green willow tresses, soft and fragrant moss, blue dragonflies, the azure skies. I really love the way he put this together. And his vocabulary definitely matched, I thought, the two prompts in terms of its ability to create imagery and to delight the reader with phrasing that is good. It's clearly superior. And, of course, his reads are always good. So, bravo, Eric.
Absolutely. He definitely, very well said there. He definitely has a great voice for reading a classic poem. And I was surprised and pleasantly so to see him write in a style a bit different than his usual. I thought he handled the rhyming and the meter just absolutely stunning. And I really liked this all the way through. But I did particularly like that third stanza with ripe metal strawberries at biterminal spitting, sweets of cordial sweetness upon no tight ribbing. That whole idea of just, you know, letting loose, being free and loving in the moment. And I also really liked ecstatic laughter causes a dainty doe to peer. Never has almond eyes beheld alabaster skin so clear. I really enjoy the idea of two people just, you know, laughing together and loving together. And that was a beautiful write and very well done. And I'd like to say welcome to Mika. Welcome, Mika. Glad you could be here.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
How's it going?
I'm doing great. How are you?
so far so good, just enjoying some poetry and company. So it's all good. Yes. And did you get a chance to read Eric's poem?
Yeah, I did. I really loved it. I loved the kind of classical feel to it. I'm sure people have already been saying that, but it really felt so transportive, like it was taking me back in time. And I don't know how he always writes with such it always feels like with such authenticity, even if he's talking about like a story that took place like in another time period. But it really, like, it just feels true to itself, I guess, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
I felt like, especially at the end, when he was trying to get her away from the societal parlor prestige, it reminded me of something that, like would have fit in Jane Eyre or something like that. Like, Mr. Rochester would have been saying something like this to Jane.
Oh, I like that. Yeah, that is definitely a great observation. You're right. It would fit really well in that Jane Eyre era. And, and if he does, you're right. I think authenticity is a perfect word to describe his writing. So excellent comments, everybody. All right. And up next, we have Carousel of Love by Betty Page. And Kel, would you give that a read for us, please?
Certainly. I love reading Betty Page. Carousel of love. Caress my glass heart. Pour within me all your love. Ride my carousel. Spin your way deeply down into my broken soul till I'm without words. Gasping, sighing, sweet. Tantalize every moment. Never let me go. Twirl, suck, and bite me. Savor my decadent taste, pink bubbly champagne. Allure with your eyes, vibrant blue as ocean waves. Shock me electric, pin me aggressive, wrestle me till I give in. Pursue with pure heart, shatter all my fears till I'm pulsating. Swiftly caress with soft touch, mesmerize me high. Drench me wildly, wet, hot, take me for a ride. End poem.
Wonderful read there, Cal, and a great write by Betty. I do enjoy the way she takes the passion that's in the prompt poem, especially I think in the youthful passion of the first one, and gives it modern-day phrasing and imagery. So very cool there. And all right, and Mika, your thoughts?
Yeah, I thought it was a great read and write as well. Great job, Kel and Betty Page. I feel like consistently when I read Betty Page's writes, I just have to give props to her imagery. I like that she brings in the pink bubbly champagne. There's kind of this this high energy in this piece that I really like. It's a very bubbly poem, and it's, you know, I like the last line of take me for a ride, because the whole poem is kind of has got that rhythm to it of a ride.
Yeah, absolutely, and you're right, it is a high energy piece, and that really just kind of draws you in and keeps your attention. And Lawrence, your thoughts?
I like the three line stanzas. Betty Page does brevities very well. In each of these little stanzas is almost like a brevity. I like the choice of the carousel for the rise and fall of the horses as they rotate slowly. Could be a great aid in matters romantic. It was well done.
Absolutely. Well said there. And Tom, your thoughts?
I like the way she starts with caress my glass heart. Pour within me all your love, ride my carousel. Because from that start, it becomes, in a sense, a feminist response to Marlowe's first piece. And she seems to capture in these short pieces almost the sound of the Calliope pump organ and the rhythm and the beat of it and the way the carousel moves and the grasping, sighing, sweet, tantalize every moment, never let me go. Twirl, suck, and bite me, savor my decaying taste, pink bubbly champagne. It's all about, I'm a woman, I have all these things to offer, are you willing to take them on? Come, you know, and it has that vibrant aliveness and readiness to take on a universe, take on a world, and have and give and have pleasure simply from the joy that is in the heart and full of one and full of having someone who loves you and you can love in return. Delightful piece.
Oh, absolutely. I have to agree. And Kel, you read that beautifully. Your thoughts?
Well, I was just looking at it and I noticed that, you know, ride my carousel, spin your way deeply down into my broken soul till I'm without words. And then she gets more tender, gasping, sighing, sweet, tantalize every moment, never let me go. And then she's back up, twirl, suck, and bite me, savor my decadent taste, pink, bubbly champagne. So with each alternating stanza, she's got the ups and downs of like the carousel, and that's just really brilliant. Wow. But yeah, this was a beautiful write, and I also thought it was rather effervescent and bubbly like the champagne. Very well done.
Absolutely. Yeah, you've all just said wonderful things about this poem, and I have to agree. I like how this is about a woman who knows what she wants. You know, I like that there's that kind of playfulness in it. Wrestle me till I give and pursue with pure heart. And even as she's talking about sucking and biting and, you know, pink bubbly champagne, she has tender lines like pursue with pure heart. You know, and I thought within the raw sensuality of the rite, there's also that kind of tenderness of wanting someone who will pursue you with a heart that's pure. And I thought that was a beautiful line and just a wonderful write all the way through and very well done. All right. And I'm going to go ahead and put up the next poem, which is Meet Me in Casarinas, Shade by Sinharo Biswar. And what I would like is, Lauren, you give that a read, and Tom, you go into commenting after he's done reading.
Okay.
All right. Meet me in the Casuarina's shade. Meet me in the Casuarina's shade. Meet me when the hoops are at rest. Their fluffy fur wants to part with the snowflakes. The Casuarina stretches its shade when my violin craves my hand, ripples the air with amorous notes in the mid of Alaskan chill. Bring your body sand dune heat. Come share your inward fire. Give your night as a treat. You take me to your abode's farthest deep. I don't mind leaving this herd to heaven's hand, lest I should get lost in your elusive furnace, the labyrinth of pleasure, and wrap me in serpent sleep. End poem.
Now, there's a part of me that wishes I had looked up Casarina's shade, because that opening line makes me feel it's really central. But there is in this a delightful sense of joy and aliveness, so that we have their fluffy fur wants to part with snowflakes. The Casarina stretches its shade when my violin craves my hand, ripples the air with amorous notes. So that even though on one hand he's playing with the mid of Alaskan chill, bring your body sand dune heat. So he plays with the cold and the fire, the softness and gentleness of the fleece of the lambs, and brings them all in sort of like a palette of colors and shades to create a beautiful landscape for this woman to meet him in and dance with labyrinth of pleasures and wrap me in serpent sleep. There's both a sense of magic and fantasy and wonder at the same time that he is being a true artist with the fabric of the landscape about him. Quite beautifully done. Very, very, very good example of what Free Birds can do with something like the Shepherd to the Nymph. What do you have to say, Kel?
Well, I looked up Casuarina, and it's a tree with slender, jointed, drooping twigs that resemble horsetails and bear tiny scale-like leaves. It is native to Australia and Southeast Asia. I was curious, but I thought this was...
I looked it up.
Yeah, when the hoops are on rest, their fluffy fur wants to part with the snowflake. And, you know, yeah, that makes more sense now. But, yeah, this is really a delightful piece. It has a sense of romance to it, but it's not overly done in any way whatsoever. It's just a really tender, gentle piece. I quite liked it.
Absolutely. That was wonderful comments, Tom and Kel. And thank you very much for that. I really like your observations about the imagery and how it creates that scene and the sense of magic. And Lawrence, I have no doubt you read that absolutely wonderfully. I was I was catching my co-host up on where we are with rights and links. So would you go ahead and share your thoughts with us?
Yes, certainly. This almost seems to be a shepherd who is speaking to his love. It's ironic that the Casuarina is native to Africa and other places, but not Alaska. But I can understand the liberties that poets have to take. What I really like are things like the Casuarina stretches its shade when my violin craves my hand, ripples the air with amorous notes, and the invitation to share the inward fire to give the night as a treat. He doesn't mind leaving this herd to heaven's hand. In other words, they're going to be fine on their own, but the labyrinth of pleasure and wrap me in serpent sleep is a wonderful finish to the piece. Very well done.
Absolutely, I have to agree. And that is one of the fun things about being a poet, is getting to take liberties. And I thought the In the Mid of Alaskan Chill Brings Your Body Sand Dune Heat, I thought was a really clever phrasing in the idea of sharing that warmth of two bodies close together. And I don't know about you, but I know a lot of times many couples, there's one that lets off excessive amounts of heat and one that always has cold feet. And, you know, so, but I really liked to, you take me to your boats for this deep. I don't mind leaving this herd to heaven's hand. I like the whole idea of I would, you know, sacrifice my herd just to spend this time with you. I thought it added a real mythological quality to it and a sense of sacrifice. So beautifully written and very well done. And Mika, give us your thoughts on the poem and then bring us to the next one.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I just want to say my favorite part of the poem was the ending, the labyrinth of pleasure and wrap me in serpent sleep. The alliteration of serpent sleep is cool to end the poem with, and then it makes it seem almost like a hushed whisper. But I also really liked the term serpent sleep because the serpent kind of evokes that sense that this is, you know, this is a temptation. And it, so the serpent kind of seemed out of place there, but it was so in the right place. So, yeah, I like that part of this.
Absolutely. Well said there.
Thank you. And next up, I have a piece by Sapphire 4, and I will go ahead and give this a read. This is called Piers and Suzette. May sunshine and scattered showers count down days and sleepless hours. Village maidens creep from bowers, meeting amongst meadow flowers. In a circle, they skip and dance as the wild horses freely prance. Merry and chanting their loved one's name, enticing as moths to a flame, one to another, and all do same. Shepherds, Jethro, Saul, Piers, and Lance, espied the maidens and lustily glanced. As storm clouds darkened the blue sky, each maiden emitted a single sigh, happy with vocals way up high, hurried home to wait by and by. Piers waited for the day's sunset to spread its golden riverlet, for Piers was in love with Suzette. Fair Suzette wished to be Piers' wife. Dame Fortune had smiled on his life. Piers was due an inheritance. It came by way of recompense. Family feuds were once intense. Thankfully, all now made good sense. The moonlighted way ahead, by river path, Piers was led. He walked and rested for a while, reading her note. He then did smile to hurry onwards over style. Spurred on by love, he quickly tread, imagining them in marriage bed. Bleeding sheep barred his way ahead, moved aside as he sung love song. T'was Suzette his heart did belong, hoping her love was just as strong. To rendezvous she had agreed, worried her folks did not exceed. Over marshy fen and tall green weed, in waiting through tried to impede. Visualizing her made his heart thud, he soldiered on, feet caked in mud. Overhead storm clouds onward passed, sinking helplessly, stared aghast. Ankles, then knees, he was stuck fast. Frantically, eyes about he cast. For wind cut shouts blew far away. Was no one about this end of day? Then came a glowing lantern flame, wending its way to Suzette's swain. For her, his fear he overcame. Piers lowered his head, then did pray, encouraged by the lantern sway. He heard wild ponies stampeding. Towards poor Piers, they then did swing. Inside his pockets found some string. Lassoing one did upward swing. Shouted, oh joy, my lucky day, fortune's luck is here to play. He gained control with frantic haste, then across the fen he did race to lift her up to his embrace. They married, naming firstborn May. End poem.
Great read, Mika, and excellent write, Sapphire 4. I have to say it's always good to, wonderful to see new names on in the contest and on the shows, and I hope we get to hear more from her and read more of her. I like that she tells us this epic tale in rhyme and that she varies throughout the length of the stanzas, throwing in, every once in a while, a rhyming couplet. And what I like about this is the story, it's a wonderful classic story of that kind of love conquers all and how love changes a person. Like, I like how when it starts out, it's all about the lust. The shepherds, Jethro, Saul, Piers, and Lance, espy the maidens and lustily glance. Right then and there, you realize this is simply about the admiration of the physical beauty. And then it becomes about falling in love and the willingness and the perseverance of a young man who's determined to get to his love. And in one of the poems, I think maybe both, they mentioned the month of May in the classic poem. And so I thought it was a really clever twist that at the end they get married and their firstborn was named May. So just absolutely a delightful write and very well done. And Lauren, your thoughts?
Well, that was a great comment, very thorough, Pam. I'm trying to see what you left. I like the combination of four line stanzas, three line stanzas, and two line stanzas. as they fall within the poem. I've done that myself sometimes, and I felt opening myself up to criticism, but never really encountered any. I like the intermingling because it places emphasis where you want it and allows for a little bit of extra in some imagery and a little less in others. But as you said, a great story and quite engaging as well, because now you're really hoping for Piers to make it over marshy fen and tall green weed in wading through, tried to impede, to be rescued the way he did and get there just in time, made for a great ending, shouted, "Oh joy, my lucky day, fortune's luck is here to play." And you know, in life one does need luck. Luck came at the right time and they married. I really enjoyed the piece.
Absolutely. Yeah, and it is really cool when you see the intermingling of stanzas. It's not something I do too often. And I think it works in this poem and other poems that have done it when there's kind of almost a consistency with it. Like it doesn't look awkward or random. Like it's not all four-line stanzas and then like one two-line stanza thrown in the middle. But that's just my opinion. Obviously, poetry, people can write however moves them. But that's, you know, just my unprofessional thoughts. And wonderful comment there, Lawrence. And Tom, your thoughts?
She tells a delightful story. I mean, it's interesting how, if you really stop and look at this, in a way, it follows a really nice sequence. You know, the opening where the young men just gazed upon women, and then the falling in love, and the mad elopement and the sudden danger, and then the freedom and success, and they ride off into the sunset kind of effect. She just does it so delightfully well. I mean, never gets too caught up in what I've heard termed as purple prose, doesn't bury you in adjectives, but instead just keeps this really nice, well-metered pace that swings you along and keeps you involved in the poem and the story as well. It's done really very adroitly and very well. I was quite enchanted all the way through it. And normally, it's easy for me to fall out of a story, so I was quite taken by this.
Absolutely, well said there. And Mika, you read that beautifully. Your thoughts?
I'm sorry. I had to step away. Can you skip me on this one?
Sure, no problem. No problem. And Kel, your thoughts?
Well, I agree with everyone. I thought it was a very enchanting story about Piers and Suzette and struggle to be together. I really like the allusion to the May dance. In the very beginning, May sunshine and scattered showers, maidens creep from bowers, meeting amongst meadow flowers and circle, they skip and dance as the wild horses freely prance. I was just, you know, really, really awesome. It's just like, you know, being outside castle walls or something, or in a village, and, you know, all the maidens doing the dance around the maypole. It's just really fantastic.
Absolutely.
I like the transition from, you know, lust to love and, you know, just, you know, doing whatever he could to just be with her and getting stuck in the mud. That's just really, and then, you know, getting the horse with a string. That was pretty cool.
That was.
Yeah. It was just a very well-inspired and enchanting poem. I quite enjoyed it.
I agree. Wonderful observations there, Kel. I like that you brought up the maypole dance that was referred to in the beginning of the poem. So great comments, everybody. And Mika, what do you have for us next?
Well, next up I have a poem by Casey Day, and I believe we have a sound clip for that one.
Yes, we do, and here we go.
The Secret Garden. Give me your love. Wrap it up and pour it over my begging flesh. Lay with me among lambs in soft spring meadow. Stretch your roots down into the earth and feel my heartbeat there. Smell of sweet dirt as we become clay, molding and folding into each other, transfiguration. Artesian hands gliding, mesmerizing and intoxicating. Taste of plump peach glistening on our lips as we pass back and forth the forbidden fruit of our youth. And we lay under strawberry skies and cotton candy clouds, kissing secret tears, dreaming of the day when we don't have to escape.
Beautiful read and write there, Casey. Thank you for the sound cloud. It is very much appreciated. And Mika, let's start with your thoughts on this poem.
Yeah, this was beautiful. I really love the phrase or the lines, as we pass back and forth, this forbidden fruit of our youth. That's such a cool way to put it. I liked the ending as well, with the strawberry skies and cotton candy clouds kissing secret tears. It's funny because that whole last stanza kind of reminds me of like a Beatles song for some reason. Like I'm mixing up Strawberry Fields Forever and maybe the Beach Boys, Wouldn't It Be Nice?
Yeah, it does kind of have that like kind of uplifting, you know, just kind of like delightful song type lyrics from, like you said, the Beatles and the Beach Boys and... So wonderful observation there. Great comment. And and Laurent, your thoughts.
Casey does another nice job with this one. I like her phrasing and I like the imagery. A couple that stand out. Lay with me among lambs in soft spring meadow. Again, the acknowledging of a flock that needs a shepherd. Stretch your roots down into the earth and feel my heartbeat there is at once poetic and very erotic. The second stanza, however, is the one that really catches my attention. Smell of sweet dirt as we become clay, molding and folding into each other, transfiguration, artesian hands gliding, mesmerizing and intoxicating, taste of plump peach glistening on our lips as we pass back and forth the forbidden fruit of our youth. And it's that very fruit that is the reference to dreaming of the day when we don't have to escape, when their love and their passion no longer needs to hide for any reason. Great piece.
Yeah, absolutely. I have to agree. And I do like that you pointed out that second stanza and, you know, how beautifully written it is. Great comment. And Tom, your thoughts?
It's funny, the part engineer scientist in me picked up on artesian hands gliding, because an artesian well is where you drive it straight into the earth, and the pressure of the water on the water below drives the water up self-propelled fountain up out of the ground. So there's no pumping. But when you understand what that is, it turns this transfiguration, artesian hands gliding, mesmerizing, and intoxicating. It becomes very, very sexual, sensual, and suddenly takes on a whole series of layers that otherwise wouldn't be apparent. A really nice use, especially when you have, as we become clay molding and folding into each other, just centers and grounds the whole piece really nicely right there. Very, very strong. I agree that that last verse picks up the magic of our youthfulness and the tenderness that was caught so well by the Beach Boys and the Beatles. There's a magic in this piece, along with its sensuality, that lifts it into another zone where it makes you feel almost joyful to have experienced it. Very well done.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Great comments. And Kel, your thoughts.
Well, for one thing, her voice is absolutely mesmerizing. Very beautifully written and very beautifully spoken. I thought, this is a very seductive piece, and it's just very, oh golly, I'm wiped out. It's amazing. It really is. I love all of it. Just so well done, and sensuality and eroticism. And it's just beautiful work, Casey.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, I have to agree. You've all made wonderful comments, and I think this is a beautiful write, and I really love how her use of the imagery and the metaphors really brings us into a very sensual moment. And I really like Lay With Me Among Lambs and Soft Spring Meadow. I like the whole idea of, wanting to lay in somebody's arms and, seeing them as your lion, your protector. I also like the artesian hands gliding with the beautiful seductive lines. And then, really just becomes quite delightful in the imagery of the strawberry skies and cotton candy clouds. Boy, I thought it added a really nice tenderness to this, was kissing seekers. The whole idea that within this passion of youthfulness is the sense of healing together. So beautifully written and very well done. And Mika, what do you got for us next?
Well, next up, I have your piece, Kel, if you wouldn't mind giving that a read for us.
Oh, definitely. I would give you, by Kel Smiles, I would give you a ring of pure gold, a vow that my heart you will hold, a comfortable home to be your own, if you would join me, be my love. Ah, but my dear, I am allergic to gold, proverbial vows I have yet to behold. Home sweet thought, bought or sold, I would join you if promises are kept. Then come to my room this night, I would show you what I have in mind, and give you a night of desired delight, if you would join me and be my love. Oh, such a delightful gift, would you then have me caught? Lessons have been learned, well taught. I would join you if promises are kept. In good faith, I would prove my love for you. In any form, I would freely give you truest, given a chance to shower you with trust. If you would join me, be my love. I would willingly come with you to know the truest form of desired love to grow. We'll make sweet love in moon glow. I would join with you and be your love. Oh, I would then say, I am pleased, my love. Together we make love a treasure trove. Discover all the cherished moments bold and share ringed vows of purest gold. End poem.
wonderful read and write there, Kel. That was just, it was beautiful and it was romantic and tender, and I really enjoyed that. Let's go ahead and start with your thoughts, Tom.
I thought you'd pick me. The thing I like most about this, and this, I had a lot through the fact that I've been playing with the ideas of trust a lot lately in my own thinking, is the line, I would join you if promises are kept. And you repeat it twice in here as they discover each other and entice each other and call out to each other with promises of wonder and joy and all that love can be. But central is this theme of, only if I can count on you and hold you to be true. And once that's proved, then there's just like this eruption of light in the last two verses that I find really beautiful. I think you've done a wonderful job with this.
Absolutely. Great comment, Tom. I like that you brought up the part about promises kept, because I think that's an important part of the poem and of love in general. And Laurent, your thoughts?
Kel, this is a highly enjoyable piece. I like the back and forth of the male who is gently encouraging his sweetheart to bed, and the woman who very wisely is resisting until certain vows that are promised are kept. And of course those vows are made, and at the end they decide to marry. She accepts him. But it was the subtlety of the messages back and forth that I really enjoyed. But my dear, I am allergic to gold. Proverbial vows I have yet to behold. Home sweet thought for her soul. I would join you if promises are kept. And then that line, oh, such a delightful gift of thought, would you then have me caught? And it's a great rhyme, and of course, caught is a synonym for pregnant, so that works very, very well. It's a great piece, Kel.
Thank you, Tom.
Wonderful comment, Lawrence. And Mika, your thoughts?
Yeah, I really loved the style that you chose to go with. It's very sing-songy, and I like the way that the speakers in the poem are calling and answering to each other. And it's a seduction of sorts, but it's so pure, like that as it winds down, she does succumb, but it's a really sweet version of that. Kind of seduction and succumbing, because it's backed up with that love that you kind of fill that last stanza with. So really well done.
Thank you, Micah.
Great comment, Mika. Yeah, I really like how you did the four-line stanzas. Well, you know, a beautiful rhyme and flow. I like that you tell the tale with the back and forth. And there is kind of almost a sense of innocence to this. And I like how within that second stanza, how he offers up the pure ring of gold, and she says and you see a bit of humor in this, but my dear, I am allergic to gold, proverbial vows I have yet to behold. And I really like, in good faith, I would prove my love for you in any form I really give you truest. I like that there's this willingness through actions and deeds to prove that true and pure love. So a beautiful romantic rite and very well done.
Thank you very much, everybody.
Absolutely. And Mika, what do you got for us next?
Next up I have your piece, Tom, if you don't mind giving that a read for us.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, well, all this youth I had to, and response I had to go to, gray hairs betray. How often does life and love depend upon chance, knowing at just the right moment the right words or how to dance that certain dance? She can fall into your arms and wound your heart with her wily charms. Or perhaps it is you who are the beast and she would ease away from you once you are sound asleep. How often in morning's first light does night's dream become a fright? Are we fools who grow desperate with the rise of the moon, and once fooled we quickly swoon to the chance for love, another body in a too cold bed? I cannot divine another's mind or ever know at first glance what are their intentions. Like every action in this life, one must share a moment or two to learn if they can be trusted or must be pushed away as someone who will too oft betray. When once in youth I was quick to dance and then become enchanted by the prance and fancy footwork of my partner's charms, now I tend to take my time and see if this one is someone who I wish to continuously share my time. Love is such a luscious bloom. It is so easy to be caught by dream and forget everything you ever learned. It takes being burned once too often to feel alarm when all your senses are being charmed. There may be those who are dismayed because your good sense will not betray for all the glory they portray and the way they can dazzle in every way. All of one's senses without delay. I guess I've grown too old and gray. I guess I just want someone who will find a way to share these things in a simple way. Smile and laugh when foolishness occurs in a familiar way. Who knows, we are both far from perfect, but best this way. Someone who will stay when things get hard, because I am someone who trusts to work with her to find a way.
Wonderful read and write there, Tom. Absolutely just beautiful and touching and very well done. And let's go ahead and get you some comments. And Laurent, your thoughts.
Yeah, there's a certain level of world weariness in this poem that is not without hope. Quite the opposite, as a matter of fact. Tom understands how slender the reed is that divides the water and creates a current to either side, resuming flowing together afterwards, but sometimes not. It's all by chance, and he states that up front, and it is all by chance, and sometimes the moment is ripe, sometimes the moment is cold. One steps away or steps forward, depending. Now, in that world weariness that I mentioned, it's the observations of decades of observing, observations of decades of relationships, some your own, some not your own, and seeing the outcome, seeing the chaff fall to the threshing floor, if you will, and seeing what remains, knowing that the simple things are the hardest things, that all else is froth and detritus. So his wish to find someone who can share in a simple way what's important, you know, the laughter, the smiles, the foolishness, knowing neither are perfect, but both working together to find a way. I can really relate to this poem, Tom. Beautiful piece.
Yeah, you know, time tells.
Absolutely. That was a great comment there, Lawrence. I like how you brought up that there's that kind of world weariness that and the observation that comes from, you know, decades of watching different relationships. So excellent observation. And Mika, your thoughts?
Oh, I really love this. I think that there's a lot of wisdom in it, but also I thought it was really cool how you started off, even just in the first stanza, with so much self-awareness. We say, well, perhaps it is you who are the beast, and she should ease away from you once you are sound asleep. I like that because sometimes it's not the way you're hurt in love, but the way that you kind of perpetrate hurt. And we have a lot of capacity within us to be selfish and to wound ourselves. But a lot of times I think we're focused on the wounds that others inflict. So I like that you start off so self-aware. And I agree with what, you know, everyone else is saying about this, but I like the stanza too about how there's, you can never know. I cannot divine another's mind or ever know at first glance what are their intentions. And even if you do share a moment or two, you don't know if someone's going to change as well. So there's just so much uncertainty when it comes to others. There's no guarantee. I liked it.
Absolutely. Well said there, Mika. Yeah, and you're right. There is within that first stanza that self-awareness and a sense of wisdom throughout the rite. So wonderful comment. And Kel, your thoughts?
Oh, goodness gracious. Yes. I really, really like this, and I have a lot of thoughts, but I'm not going to go into them all. Because, as you know, like Tom and Lauren, I've been around for a few years, and it's difficult to understand how people can just fall into each other without knowing who they are. Okay, it's just, I like the allusion to like the one night dance, the one night stands, and that sort of thing. Or how to dance that certain dance. She can fall into your arms and wound your heart with her wily charms. Or perhaps it is you who are the beast, and she should ease away from you once you are sound asleep. Well, actually, you shouldn't be there in the first place, but that's my opinion. And totally at the end, sharing, someone, one person, that's enough. Seriously, it's enough. If you could find that one person that you want to spend the rest of your life with, and that's after a struggle of, getting to know each other and finding whether or not that love is even there. It doesn't have to be. Love isn't about sex. And that's what a lot of people just don't seem to get. Like I said, I can go on and on and on, because this is a subject that's really bothered me for a while. So this is a very, very excellent philosophical piece. And I totally agree with you. Well done, Thomas.
Oh, well, thank you.
Great, great comments, everyone. And, I really found this heartwarming and beautiful in the idea that it's about the learning process that we go through when it comes to love and it comes to relationships, and especially how it goes into those last couple stanzas of the idea of learning to slow down, of learning not to expect perfection from another person or even from yourself, but rather work together as two imperfect people to make the relationship stronger, to learn how to trust. So just absolutely a wonderful rite, Tom, and very well done.
Oh, thank you.
And Mika, what do you got for us next?
Oh, well, next up, Laurent, I have your piece. You wouldn't mind reading that for us.
Are you on mute, Lauren?
He's muted.
I was just about to be on mute, but then I looked down and noticed, lo and behold, I was on mute. So here I am. This is called If I. Were I a lad whose blood runs hot, a suitor who weaves a lover's knot, offering all that he doth possess with gentle hand and tenderness. If I could but shed decrepit tears, abandon my aging wayward fears, conquer demons and fiery dragons, hoist and drink from brimful flagons, how eagerly might I seek you then, composing poems in a sun-kissed glen, reading aloud what my heart composed, as you smiled at what my words disclosed. All this and more I would fain attempt, did not age suggest I am now exempt, and must rest on laurels of long ago. My time is short. I await death's blow. Regardless, inside, smoldering passions stir, sadly doomed by time, the eternal saboteur. End poem.
Wonderful read there, Lawrence. I always enjoy how oftentimes you take a different take on a prompt and offer up such a raw, honest, and humorous look at life. This poem reminds me of how my grandfather used to always say, just because there's snow on the roof doesn't mean there's no fire in the chimney. And or not the chimney, the stove, or whatever he would say. You know what I mean. And yes, that's it. And I really like how, first of all, I think the title is really, really cool. How with just one word, it's almost like a play on the title of the poem If by Rudyard Kipling. That was really cool. I like this all the way through, but particularly the second stanza, conquer demons and fiery dragons, hoist and drink from brimful flagons. There was a kind of a playful eagerness and sensuality within those lines. And also how you remind us of the last few lines of the harsh reality of life. We are, even as we grow older, we are passionate, we are loving, you know, we have desires, but time, the eternal saboteur, comes to us all. And just excellent use of the word saboteur. So very well done there.
Thank you, dear.
And Tom, your thoughts?
Well, if you want to have two different takes on the effects that time makes. One from the philosophical understanding that passion's case may prove to be a hangman's noose, and the other wishing that you could return to those days of youth when you could prance and dance and be proud to play with all the features of romance that's so well stated in that second verse. Well, you caught it. You caught it really, really well. Yes, there's that sense of age and slight bitterness and no longer being able to do that, but told so well that one only recognizes someone who's, there may be snow on the roof, but the fire in the hearth is still burning quite hot. Yes, well done. Very well done.
Thank you, sir.
Absolutely. And Kel, your thoughts?
Well, I gotta say, I love the language. You know, it's kind of old English. but I also like the transition from youth to aging. And I'm gonna tell you, you're never too old. Come on. know, at least I don't think I am. And, you know, there's always hope. Come on, honey. Anyway, I also really like this second stanza. You know, demons and fiery dragons hoisting drinks from brimful wagons. This is really, the rhythm and flow to this is really wonderfully done. And like I said, I love your language, Laurent. No matter what you're reading or writing, you put in such wonderful language. It's just amazing. Very well done, sir.
Thank you, Cal.
And Mika, share your thoughts with us and then go ahead and bring us on to the next poem.
I really loved it. I like that the last part, regardless inside smoldering passion stir, sadly doomed by time, the eternal saboteur. It reminds me, I can't actually remember of where I was reading this, but it reminds me of something I was reading that was talking about the face in the mirror being less and less like how you perceive yourself, because it's not that you're different inside, so it becomes more and more unrecognizable. And yeah, I don't know, this piece is deeply pensive, and I love that when you get so pensive in your writing.
Thank you, Mika.
Absolutely. And next up, we have a SoundCloud by Shelley Burdon. I will post that up right now.
All right.
Oh,
and I'll move on over to the... And yes, absolutely. Good night, Tom. Thank you for calling in. We appreciate you. And I will... And you said this was by Shelley, correct?
Yes, sorry, by Shelley Burdon.
All right. Here we go.
Field of love. My love, come meet me in the field, where the young grass meets the river. We will use pebbled banks to shield caresses that make us shiver. Under the sultry moon's pale glow, bring your soft lips to meet my kiss. Deeply, passionately, and slow, losing ourselves in love. Abyss. Effortlessly carry me to the mighty oak we carved our name. A heart circling me and you, symbolizing the love it frames. To lay with me, bodies entwined beside daisies and babies' breasts. Embrace. We perfectly aligned a love that lasts after our death. And oh.
Wonderful read and write there, Shelley. It's always great to hear a new voice. And thank you for the SoundCloud. It is very much appreciated. And Mika, let's start with your thoughts.
I really love how soothing her voice is, and so matching the voice with the poem was perfect because this poem is just really lilting and soft, and so yeah, I really love how she read it and how lovely her voice was.
Absolutely, I have to agree, and it did fit really well with the tone of the poem and was very soothing. And Kel, your thoughts.
Tell me just as I took a swallow of hot coffee. Oh, wow. I agree with Mika. Mika? Sorry, honey. I thought this was absolutely lovely. Very tender and gentle. Her voice just is also, you know, I also thought it was very soothing. And it's a very heartfelt and
romantic poem. Absolutely gorgeous.
Absolutely.
Very nice.
It is, and I have to read it. It's a wonderful, tender poem. So great comment. And Lawrence, your thoughts?
Well, all of you guys have expressed very eloquently their observation on the tenor of this poem. Its gentleness, its lovingness, its romance and passion. And I agree with you. And it's well written and well rhymed. And it's aspirational at the same time. A love that lasts after our death. Now, that has to be aspirational. Because, as we know, love is a finicky thing. It's not always of a lasting nature. And so it's ironic in the third stanza that it's the mighty oak where we carved our names, a heart circling me and you, symbolizing the love it frames. And that, I love that little stanza. It's very well written. As the oak grows, the carved heart rises up out of reach, and the bark thickens, covering the heart itself. So either the love is secret and lasting, and only the tree knows, or the love does not last, and only the tree knows. So I know it's just an aside, but I think the thought registered with me. I thought it was interesting. Great piece.
I like that. Absolutely. Great observation there. I have to say, I really like your thoughts and your observations on the whole idea of the heart being carved into the oak as a symbolism for a love that grows but perhaps becomes more and more, you know, out of reach, out of sight. So just excellent comments. Let's see, I think I got everyone's comments, so now it would be my turn. Yeah, this has absolutely beautiful rhyme and flow. I really like, we will use pebbled bank to shield caress that makes us shiver. And I like how there's a delicacy to this, but there's also a passion to it. Bring your soft lips to meet my kiss deeply, passionately, and slow. I like that idea of just really, you know, enjoying the moment, appreciating the moment of love and desire. And I also like how she uses the imagery of beside daisies and baby's breath. You know, the idea of the daisy chains formed together, almost like that kind of idea of arms connecting together. So beautifully written and very well done. And Nika, what do you got for us next?
Next up I have a piece by Felon. And I will go ahead and give us a read. It's called Seduction's Revival. His essence sings hallelujah as it performs a baptism within my inner inhibition. Sacrifice for the stars and bleed, allowing the moon to captivate passion. Preaching desire scripture moves me to speak in tongues and worship his embrace. Parting more than just the sea and walking beneath the drowned to all of me. End quote.
Wonderful read there, Mika, and what a great light from Felon. I tell you, when it comes to like that kind of hard-hitting imagery, she really knows what she's doing. I love the spiritual context of this rite and how it conveys that sense of wonderment and passion. So just absolutely a powerful brevity and very well done. And Laurent, your thoughts?
Wow. Seduction's Revival is very suggestive, and either I'm reading way more into this than I should, but the first stanza is so eloquent. His essence sings hallelujah as it performs a baptism within my inner inhibitions. So she references inhibitions and a baptism. Now, what do we get when we receive baptism? Anybody?
What?
Well, what do we get when we receive a baptism? This is an open question.
A new life.
All right. Or is it also a new life with past sins forgiven type of thing?
Yeah, absolution.
Okay, that's the word I wanted. So, with inner inhibitions and a baptism that literally says, all right, look, you have absolution for whatever you do. Now, then the use of the next word, sacrificed, and bleed, allowing the moon. You combine moon and bleed together. And I think, and then going to the last stanza, parting more than just the sea. Which sea was it? The Red Sea. And I think that there was an implication of a woman who's going to have sex with her loved one, regardless of the time of month. Now, I may be stretching this point, but I don't know. Those things hit me really hard, especially the words that she chose. This coincidental, perhaps. I don't know. Lovely piece.
Absolutely. You know, and I really do like those thoughts there, Lawrence, because, you know, and I don't know either if that's what she meant, but it is intriguing that she does choose that different imagery throughout other stanzas. And I like that thought because oftentimes women are taught to hide themselves, you know, not physically necessarily, but, you know, emotionally and sexually. When they're in that time of the month. So, you know, I think whether or not Fallon meant it that way, it still is an excellent observation on your part. So very well said. And Mika, you read that beautifully. Your thoughts?
Oh, yeah. I really love the ending. I think Fallon has a way of playing around with words that I like. She uses them in kind of unexpected context or I think there's a literary term for that, but I can't think of what it is. But and walking beneath the drown is a really good example. Parting more than just the sea and walking beneath the drown to all of me. I really like that phrase, walking beneath the drown. I love her style, and this is very true to that.
I have to agree, and that was a wonderful phrase. So, great comment. And Kel, your thoughts?
Oh golly, I'm not real sure what to think. There's like a great deal of spirituality in this, but it's also like, oh my God, do it again! Oh my God, do it again! You know. Speaking of speaking tongues and worship his embrace. It's very passionate, but it also has this spirituality in it that just kind of blows me away. So I'm not absolutely positive what to think. It's beautifully written, but it's also kind of confounding.
Well, I appreciate you sharing your thoughts. And, you know, I think one of the things, in my opinion, that people have to remember is that spirituality and sensuality do not have to be separated. You can very much have a piece that is both sensual and spiritual. And with this one, there really is a sense of the physical and emotional connection between two people. And I like this all the way through, but especially that third stanza, which makes me very much think of a woman who is so well pleased that she has no problems with voicing her pleasures. So excellent write and very well done. And Mika, what do you got for us next?
Well, next up, I have a poem by M.K. Rock. And, Laurent, will you read that for us?
Yes, I'll be happy to, more than happy. This is called Orchards of Gull Glen by M.K. Rock. Oops, let me put on my glasses. Cursive is not quite as clear as otherwise. Orchards of Gull Glen. Wait for me, love, near the kissing tree. I'll come for you when day is through. in Gull Glen by the sea. Wait for me, love. Wait for me. Lay me down, love. Solace in green leaves. I'll sing for you of new worlds for two. On fragrant winds, dream weave. Lay me down, love. Lay me down. Taste my lips, love. Plush buds, lushly pink, sweetest passion's kiss. Bursting with bliss, we are in season drunk. Taste my lips, love. Taste my lips. Wait for me, love. Our pleasure's found in Gull Glen by the sea. End poem.
Wonderful read there, Laurent. And just a beautiful write by MK. I really like how we get to read and indulge in a writer of hers that has not been on a show before. And what's wonderful to me is that she wrote this 9 years ago, and though it was 9 years ago and to a different prompt, it just really beautifully and perfectly fits in with tonight's show, the theme and the tone of the poetry. So I thought that was very well done there, and her choice to put on that on the board. And Mika, your thoughts?
Yeah, I so agree with you. There's been a real a very lovely tone to all the writes tonight. I think, you know, your prompt choice really drew this kind of tone out, but it's interesting that she had something that was so perfect for it. Yeah, I like, I think my favorite part is probably, I'll sing for you of new worlds for two on fragrant winds, dream weave. It's just very, very lovely writing.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well said there. And Kel, your thoughts?
I love the sense of anticipation, and there was something else. But, you know, wait for me, my love, wait for me. And that's repeated, you know, several times. But taste my lips, love, plush buds, lushly pink, sweetest passion's kiss bursting with bliss. I mean, just the rhythm to it is really fascinating. And the language as well, you know, it's just really, really wonderful and well done.
Absolutely, absolutely. And yeah, you're right there, Kel. It does have a really nice rhythm to it. So excellent comment. And Lauren, you read that wonderfully. Your thoughts?
Oh, I love this piece. It has a classical, timeless quality. The sense of a voice coming from a far place, heard on the wind, unseen yet haunting and penetrating. Beautifully done.
Absolutely. Yeah, there is a kind of a, even though it's not a particularly long poem, there's a really epic and classic feel to it, of a story of a love that lasts eternity. And I really like how the repetitiveness of lay me down, love, lay me down, and taste my lips, love, taste my lips, really adds to the flow of the poem. And I think this is beautiful all the way through, but I do especially like the imagery and the sense of wanting to be embraced that's in that second stanza. So beautifully written and very well done. And Mika, what do you got for us next?
Next up, I have a poem by Martha Gettle, and this is going to have a SoundCloud, if I can get to this place where I post it. Let's see here. Okay, there it is.
All right, and here we go.
Come Be My Love by Martha Gettle. She sat alone by the running water thinking, and to the sorrow in her heart she was sinking. Sir Ryan, her heart longed, for him it's true. She despaired, that he would ever love her too. A simple shepherd girl is all that she was. How could he choose one like her to love? As she rose and started her journey home, she knew in her heart she was no longer alone. Suddenly someone stepped out in the path clear. She started, and her heart beat faster with fear. Sir Ryan, the man she had admired from afar, said, "What are you doing out alone under the stars?" "Sweet Anna," he said, "something I have on my mind, and it troubles me from time to time. I must tell you, I have watched you from afar, and to me, sweet Anna, you shine like a star. I have to tell you, Anna, you must know, love for you in my heart like sweet honey flows." Anna said, "Oh yes, Sir Ryan, I think of you, and I have longed that you would love me too." He said, "I long to spend my life in sweet repose, to enjoy you, my love, as I do a beautiful rose." She said, "Oh Ryan, I long for you, I do. I want to spend my life being loved by you." As Sir Ryan drew her in for a kiss, her heart beat faster in loving bliss. The first time he placed his loving lips on hers, feelings rose up in her heart like never before. So warm and sweet the lips on hers he placed, how quickly the heart in her breast raced. Sweet love at last flowed between them then, a lifetime love they knew would never end. "Come, my Anna," he said, "I give you my heart free. Will you be my bride and walk in life with me?" "Sir Ryan, my heart swoons within my breast. My heart beats for you and no one else." His arms surrounded her and he kissed her sweet. He whispered softly, "I lay my love at your feet." End poem.
Wonderful reading right there, Martha. Thank you for the SoundCloud. It is very much appreciated. And Kel, your thoughts on Martha's poem.
Oh, golly. When love is realized, that is just so tender and sweet. I've got to say, though, I absolutely love the name she chose for the young lady, because my youngest daughter, her name is Anna.
Aw, that's sweet.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought this was a very lovely, well-flowing poem. It's just beautiful all the way through.
It really is. Excellent comment. And Lawrence, your thoughts?
In the past, love, it seemed to me, was not approached with blind eyes by any means, but it was idealized, perhaps, in a way that love is not idealized today. And I see that, and the person in the image, of course, that was chosen from the contest, but in the writing, I love a love story with a happy ending. I love the idea of two people loving each other without either one of them knowing that the other is ready to accept them wholeheartedly, because it kind of satisfies that urge in me, at least, that when two people meet who are right for each other, it hits both of them at the same time, or it can hit both of them at the same time. And she tells the story in couplets, which I really enjoy. It makes for a very efficient way of telling the story and separating lines of dialogue, as are done here. But again, the romantic in me loves a happy ending, and this certainly has that.
Oh, absolutely. I did appreciate how she gave us this tale of love with that happy ending and how it had that back and forth of two people unveiling their hearts. So, excellent comment. And Mika, go ahead and share your thoughts with us and then bring us to the next poem.
Yeah, I think that this is fits with the tone of the rest of the poems that we've been reading. There's just a gentle, lyrical kind of quality to it, and I like that we've read kind of a lot of stories tonight. You know, it's all been very transportive to like I don't know, a kind of a golden glow, rose colored glass tint image of yesteryear, and I like that.
Absolutely.
And
me too.
Yeah. Next up, I actually have another write by MK Rock and Pam. Would you mind giving that a read for us?
I would be happy to do that. All right. And here we go. This is Passion's Wake Up Call by MK Rock, and it goes like this. Morning's hunger sung in sweet resolve, an enchanting sight, the sun, fingers tracing glyphs of wonder soon, have me all undone. Secrets drawn to predilections and purative scenes as yet unplayed, scripts we long to feather tickle planes, warmed by honey suede. Furtive sips on inquisitive lips, exploration skimmed bowl, till sensitivity's harvest brims, topping dulce fold. Our density cups proven ample, we abandon tempting clay as glaze and sights, gasps rejoined in blissful moans, soothing fear of glided dawn, falls on to panted pure de soie taunt, delves moistly in our deep, an ache never unanswered, clock precious unwinding, a coupled urgency seeks, skins in mesh and binding, locks twinings, a ribbon's keep. End poem. I have to say that's just absolutely beautiful. I love how she plays with the idea of sensory, like tickling and touching and gliding. It's beautifully done. I am only going to get one comment on this, though, so we can move on. And Laurent, let's hear your thoughts.
When MK decides to write sensual, she gives you images that literally are an enchanting sight, as she says. Fingers tracing glyphs of wonder soon have me all undone. I love the shortened version of hieroglyphs. Glyphs is a word, standalone word that works well for me. There is one stanza further down. Gasps rejoined in blissful moans, soothing seer of gilded dawn, falls onto painted peau de soie, taunt, delves moistly in our deep, an ache never unanswered. Wow. Love that. To me, this is very, very hot. Love the writing.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, just really well said there. And Mika, what do you got for us next?
Next up, I have a poem by Daniel DeHine. And Kel, would you mind giving that a read for us?
I'd be happy to. Nymph by Daniel DeHine. Sweet universe, thy most treasured dream has fallen before thee like a fog of emotions caught in thy rapture. Blessed are thee, enchanted mist, to send thy most beautiful nymph hither to thee. Fate be so kind to thee that no malice can destroy thy blessing of pure love taste. Cherubs gathered in the garden of lust and played melodies of thy heart's concept. Nymph of legend bold, such a sight to behold. Cast thy lot with Cupid's arrow, who sends love upon thy winds of mortal sorrows. Nymph of impeccable loveliness, never leave thy side. End poem.
Wonderful read there, Kel. I think Daniel DeHine does an excellent job with writing brevities. And this is really quite delightful, but I especially like the line, before thee like a fog of emotion caught in thy rapture. There's really a sense of being so overwhelmed by someone's beauty and sensuality. I also thought it was really intriguing that he put "Cast thy lot with Cupid's arrow," and felt it instead of ARROW, ERROW, almost as if like Eros, or perhaps the idea of Cupid making an error. And and the idea of making an error, and then "sends love upon thy winds of mortal sorrows." I thought those were just really intriguing lines of the whole idea that how inescapable fate can often be. And Kel, your thoughts?
Oh, I thought it was a delight. Yeah, I really, like you, I really love those first few lines. "Sweet universe, thy most treasured dream has fallen before thee like a salt fog of emotions caught in tiny raptures, or caught in thy rapture." And it's just, it's really romantic and reverent. Very beautiful.
Absolutely. Well said there. And Lawrence, your thoughts?
I love that bit about pure love's haste, that no malice can destroy thy blessing of pure love's haste. Cherubs gathered in the garden of lust and played melodies of thy heart's concept. Very nicely done.
Absolutely. One just absolutely wonderful comments there. Thank you, both of you. And Mika, what do you got for us next?
Well, next up we have a piece by Bookworm Dave, TP7. And I will go ahead and give this a read. It's called "Delia and David." Delia met David in the pastures, sensing his kindness to the sheep. She whispered in his ear, not sweet nothing, but love. As she led him to the tent that he stayed in when the sheep were asleep, she gently kissed him as he kissed her, moving silently, no need to wake the sheep. Her bare body showed her excitement, and he showed his to her, consummating their love, marriage under the stars, with the silent approval of the sheep. No other shepherd to bear witness, as she was a nymph, her call was to the divine. As she made her boy a man and he made her a woman, that November night so long ago, forever they would be one with frolic for often. End poem.
Great read, Mika. And what a delightful tale of seduction and love, and told in a very straightforward manner. And I like how he chose the name of two different biblical characters that I believe didn't actually know each other, worked around the same time. But I like how he chose David, who represented the idea of someone who had a faith and loyalty. And, I wouldn't say loyalty, but faith. And then Delilah, someone who betrayed her lover. I really like the "her bare body showed her excitement and he showed his to her." Just fun. Sometimes it's just fun to be straightforward. And Laurent, your thoughts?
Did you mean like a little boy and girl, I'll show you yours if you show me mine?
Yeah, right.
I mean, when Delia meets David, she senses his kindness to the sheep. And I think that is kind of irresistible to anyone. When you sense another individual being kind to, quote-unquote, dumb animal, you sense that they're going to be kind to you as well. And that is immediately appealing. And if you throw in the appeal of sexuality and combine that, there is that gentle seduction that we see occurring right before our eyes. As you said, very straightforward. matter-of-factly told. But, boy, it doesn't lack a thing, does it?
Absolutely. I'm sorry. Very well said there. And Mika, why don't we go ahead and try to fit just one last one in for the night?
Yeah, I think this is actually our last poem anyway, so nice job. And this
okay.
poem is by Where Then. So would you give that a read for us, Pam?
Absolutely. I would be happy to. Sorry. And this is Give Me Something Mystical by Where Then. And it goes like this. Tell me something true, where you're at, really, what it means to be you. Let's go there, wherever you want to go. Call it whatever. Call it mystical. Call it spiritual. Or is that too much? Don't let me shirk what I've just said. Take me on your strange journey. You know I love your head and home. I have to say, I think this is just a wonderful brevity in the whole idea of wanting to get to know somebody on a deeper level, on a physical, a metaphysical, a spiritual level, of an idea of having them take you on a journey of their thoughts. So just very well expressed. And Mika, your thoughts?
Yeah, I have to agree with you. I kind of like that there's... it's almost a shrug when it's wherever you want to go, call it whatever, call it mystical, call it spiritual, or was that too much? It's like, it doesn't matter. The definitions don't matter. I just, like, I want to keep going into this. And it seems like it's, you know, like getting to know this person better, especially in the last line when they say, you know, I love your head. Like, just wanting to understand the deepest part of who that person is. But it's almost kind of humorous because it's like, whatever, call it whatever, I'm in. I liked it.
Right? I like that. I like that how you describe it as a shrug, like a, you know, just a kind of like, whatever, I'm all chill. Oh, great comment. Well, I have to say, this has been an absolutely wonderful show. I've really enjoyed all your company and this night of romantic poetry that, as was mentioned before, kind of transported us back in time. Join us a half hour from this show with Strange Magic after midnight with, of course, our one and only Incoherent Dust, otherwise known as Mika, where she will be highlighting poetry with intense imagery. And thank you, Mika, for being my co-host on this show. Thank you, Tom, Lawrence, and Kel for calling in. Truly appreciate you all. Thank you to everyone who wrote for the show, who is listening now or will be listening later. Our shows would not be the same without you, so we do truly appreciate you. And thank you to Jean, Fill My Eyes, for everything that she does in the background and her hard work. Just absolutely a wonderful show, and make sure to check out the contests and the topic boards that our LNP host and hostess has put up, because you're sure to find something to inspire. And in closing, Mika, did you have anything you'd like to say?
No, just thank you, Pam, for being an amazing co-host and all the hard work you do as well.
Well, thank you. And have a good night, everyone.
Good night.
Good night.